Saludos, fellow treasure hunter and truth seeker. Today, I'm gonna share with you the less of 15 or so lessons learned from 2 years working with and mentorship under a veteran B2B copywriter. This is gonna be especially helpful for you if you are looking to get started as a copywriter to get into the field, especially as a non-native English speaker, because I'm from Poland and English is not my native language, so I think the path is slightly different for the non-native versus native. And or also if you already are in copywriting, but maybe you're on the beginner level and you wanna get paid more, find more clients, figure out how to maybe get a job, there's gonna be a bunch of lessons that I shared that will resonate with you and will maybe help you accomplish this. So without any further ado, let's get into the video and the lessons. Cheers.
Before I say anything else, the most important is that you understand that most copywriters are actually wannabe copywriters. So people who want to become a freelance copywriter and make a living doing so, I don't know, travel the world, become a digital nomad, they do not have what it takes. I don't have the statistics, but probably for 1,000 people that hold themselves that way or are hanging around on the Facebook groups, maybe there's one that actually makes a living doing so, like actually has enough money just from that, or even makes any money at all. So the reason I'm saying is that to kind of manage your expectations and also prepare you, like, why these lessons are so important and were really hard learned, and I really want to pass them to you, because you have to understand what is it gonna take for you to either become one, or maybe you are already one but you want to like master it to another level. So I will try to share like the perspective from me working under on the mentor who has been there, done that, and I worked under him for 3 years. So I made tons of mistakes and learned a few lessons, hopefully. So let's dive into it. So the first lesson is basically that you have to show up and deliver and do it consistently. Meaning that one of the main reasons we would, even if I hired a copywriter for Nate and we worked with them, is that they would potentially sort of drop off. So they either would not deliver on time, or they would, you know, make excuses, or they would just get like super stressed of the overload of system or whatever, and they say they cannot do it anymore. So I think one of the ways to, and it applies to both just either the client or a mentorship relationship or just getting a mentor, I think one of the main things you have to do is to have to show up and deliver on a consistent basis, because that's how you build trust. It's actually way more important than that you do it well, that you, you know, the perfect copy from the start and you are the best and things like that. Actually, you can suck and you can make mistakes, but as long as you are, you know, always on time, you're on the meetings, when there's a deadline, you deliver, where, you know, for example, a mentor asks you something, you do it, and very, very, very rarely, or if never, you let him down. And that same will apply to a client, that you just basically have to show up and deliver. But that's lesson number one. So the lesson number two is that basically your role, if you are writing copy for someone, especially in the B2B, is to uncover specifics. And that's where most copy fails. It's very generic, very broad, and because of that, it doesn't have the punch and the impact necessary to actually work. And that also maybe is, I can put in here a little sprinkle that this is also the big difference between like content and copywriting, that copywriting, like content is, I would say, mostly about educational. So maybe the goal is there to educate someone and bring their level of awareness higher, but it's not really that much to about the action. Copywriting, like I would say all copywriting, is about writing something that will get someone to take some kind of an action, reply, like a button, call you, email you back, anything. And for that, it's absolutely necessary that you figure out the specifics. And how do you then cover the specifics? We'll get to that later, but basically this is all the part about the initial conversation with the client, having a good, having a proper form, like questionnaire to ask questions, also knowing what questions to ask and asking kind of ignorant questions of like, as if you didn't know anything. And then what I learned from Nate is that really helps to have an experience to kind of hang it on, so that you can more picture the audience you are talking to, because ultimately you are writing it to somebody or some kind of a business. So that's why in copywriting it's everyone talks about niching down. I think the niching down is really important also for the specifics, because if you are a 20-year-old, I'm 28 now, and you want to write to a 50-year-old grandma, it's really not so easy for us to know specifically what would make her tick. And it's possible to learn that by talking to these kind of people, making interviews. But it's much easier, if there's some kind of audience that you can relate to. And on the other side, as far as the client side, you just want to look at any of their sales materials, anything they already have done to sell their product or service successfully, and how they phrased it, either like in audio or how they written it, whatever that has ever worked. And you want to uncover specifics like percentages, time, special jargon, anything like that. This is your goal. The next one is, I would say, this one I learned a lot just like by hopping with Nate on the many calls with clients, either sales calls or after I'm working. And actually one of the main difficulties at some point, if you are doing copywriting, is actually selling it to the client, meaning that you can write the perfect copy in your opinion, but a lot of the times the client will have objections, because they will either think that maybe it's not good, because, well, great copy is often very challenging, like kind of makes you sweat. I learned that also from John Carlton, one of those famous copywriters, that like, good copywriting should make you a little uncomfortable to publish it, to send it, that it should be on the edge. And that's true, because it has to be kind of on the edge to spark enough emotions. But many clients are not willing to risk it for the biscuit. So actually the main challenge is, how do you, do that dance between you and the client of like, hey, maybe we will make some concession here, maybe, okay, we'll listen to you here, but listen to us here. Obviously the gurus will never tell you about this, because, well, if you are like a guru, famous, someone's paying you $100,000 to write something, of course they will trust you to send whatever there is. But if you are on the lower level or starting out, the clients often will not have as much trust. So navigating that is tricky. I would say that you have to just be prepared that oftentimes, it's either sending something or sending nothing. So sometimes you gotta just make the compromises. But on the other hand, there are other times where you just have to stand firm and say, like, trust me on this. We have to risk it here. And now it sounds or looks kind of weird. But look, we've done it before like that. And it resulted in you know, revenue or clients, things like that. So a lot of, if you talk to business owners, especially directly, a lot of them, if you talk about how that specifically will lead to results, they will be willing to be open, to be a bit more, you know, risky and daring with their copy. And I think if you can tie these things together, that can also help a lot. So the next one is writing in consistency. So the first one was like show up consistently as far as like to the client or to the mentor. But another one is basically writing. I think the only way to get better at it is to do it practically every day. When I looked at Nate, he would just, I think he would write every day. He would always have like some small project, some small copy, something. He would just always hop in, and it didn't matter, had a good day, didn't matter, have a bad day. He would always like find a way to pull out his creative juices. It's really, really tough at the start because you feel like you need to be at your best to write something. But then we'll get to the next point. What's the solution to it? It's basically that you have to be able to kill your darlings. So that's kind of like transition. So I think to be able to write consistently, you have to accept that your initial, I don't know, few paragraphs, few sentences, few words will suck. And actually a lot of your writing will suck and doesn't matter. And you have to be able to quickly kill it and trust yourself that you will come up with something else and not, it's like, oh, I wrote this, so it's sacred. And actually it's super hard. I've done it, and I saw how Nate like mastered it. He would write something in a Google Doc and immediately almost, you know, delete the sentence, write the next sentence, and delete two words, rewrite part of the sentence. He would do it like on the spot, like live. And I found that, yeah, in general, and especially copywriting, it's really, really hard to do it. I don't really have like advice. I think it's just, I'm giving you this precaution that, you know, everyone's like, even that guy who I would consider one of the best, he still, most of his stuff is shit. And then he picks out the best, and then he also constantly rewrites it to like, trying to phrase it better, trying to put it in better words. And he's not afraid to just basically delete it all the time. The next one is about, especially for you non-native English speakers. So like myself, for example, I'm from Poland, is the importance of cultural understanding. So I think that's where maybe I think specializing in certain markets makes sense. A lot of people want to speak right for the English speaking market. So that's for the most part US. So I think if you want to write for the US, what I've done for many, many, many years is to try to really get to know the culture, even though I haven't been there, like watching movies, shows, you know, videos, understanding sort of like the landscape, like being immersed in how people speak and how they write and what's going on. What are the phrases? And what's like the culture, I think, is one of the best and only ways to really ultimately be effective. And I think if when clients would ever have like an objection though that you are non-native, I think most of them actually, if you dug into deeper into it, it'd probably be that you don't get, you know, you don't get the culture, the how you do it. It's less about, you know, grammar, all that stuff, because now you have tools, the Grammarly, all that stuff. It's like, it's not so hard to get to write properly. It's more hard to write in a way that it's sort of like conversational and seems like you are one of the tribe, like you are one from there and you are not from like Cosmos. And of course, in states also it differs between states, but in general, I feel like the point is about basically the importance. Like in the UK, different phrases, different culture, different, slightly different language, different, you know, use of humor and things like that. In, I don't know, in Germany, if you don't plan to write in English, also different things are important. So I would say like, yeah, just basically that cultural understanding is at like the fundamental level of writing good copy and being effective copywriter. Okay, then one of the most important, I think, lessons I learned is the basically that this one applies specifically, I would say, to B2B, is the importance of basically business acumen or understanding this certain type of business. So that's again where I think niching down helps. It's not so much for the competition, blah, blah, blah. But unless you have like Nate, 15 years of experience, he was able to work. And also because he worked like this for many years, he was able to really both on the sales call and later, like really quickly get the client's business and how to, you know, like talk this language and understand like what's the sales process, how it works, like how I could, you know, potentially use psychology to sell it better. A lot of us, you know, don't have this experience, and especially across so many industries. So that's why, like, I think focusing on one is or a couple is important, because for most of you who also never had a business, and like basically just the big challenge is to actually be able to understand like what is the sales process, how these things work. And often that is also why like the clients don't hire you. It's not that they maybe doubt your copywriting skill. It's more about that they doubt that you actually really deeply understand their business. You know, what makes them unique? What is the sales process? What will resonate with the target audience? And being able to quickly grasp that is a giant skill. I think one is just experience. There's no, you know, getting around that. I think the second one is, again, coming back to what we talked about before, just asking good question, having a good questioner. That's definitely two. But for me, for example, helped having my own sort of business too, and also being interested in many things. I was able to work with many industries more easily. But for you, maybe you don't have, maybe you are not like so in tune with that. Then I would say your solution would be to just really focus down on the ones that you can understand, like some business models that are like you can understand, and then you can maybe find more of the very similar. So then when you talk to a client, he quickly gets that you get him and you get how he's selling this and how it works. Like, so, okay, so you produce it here and you sell it here, and this is like, this is how you make money, and this is how I can help. So, you know, so you got to be able to do that and then show it that you get it. So the next one is on balancing formulas and creativity. So that's I think very interesting subject, because if you talk, see YouTube and a lot of courses, books or whatever, they're all about formulas and frameless frameworks and AIDA and all this kind of stuff that is like all over there about copywriting. And I think to some degree, of course, you need something. Like if you are just a beginner and you don't know what to do, it's better to have a formula than just kind of be lost completely. So, and that's what I did for some time, of course, too. Like I used some formulas for email, for this, for landing page. I had some, but then by working with Nate, I understood how he would sometimes have like this, he would start something with like maybe some formula of his, like formula, let's say, oh, what's the soft value of this? What's the hard value of this? Why is it important now for the buyer? Why is it important to take action now? What's the glitter? So like, what's the kind of thing that stands out the most about this product or service? So he would have this kind of things, like these frameworks in his mind. But what I also noticed that he would just kind of like never be ideological about them. So he would like use this and then discard it and then mix it and then break. And then, so that's the second part of this is a balancing formulas and create that thing. Once you go higher and higher, the more comfortable you become with breaking the formulas, because I think ultimately the success of copy lies in like having a framework by breaking it in a good in certain spots, especially because a lot of like templates, frameworks, formulas are repeated popular. So if you, most of your audience saw it, so if you just copy it and you kind of fill it with text, a lot of times it's not going to be that powerful, but if you throw in a few surprises here and there, it's going to work much better. Of course, I don't think you can do it from the start, but keep in mind that formulas are not like the codex of God. And I think more important is to learn the principles, which I'm trying to tell you now, and then know how to and when to break the pattern, break the formulas, and also finally create your own, because a lot of the stuff that Nate would do, I've never seen anyone else do it. I think he just came up with this, you know, throughout his years of practice, trying to like help himself get some structure, help himself get the creative juices flowing with when they weren't flowing. Next one, sales skills. So I asked Nate and the first interview and when we started working on the podcast, and I asked him what's more important, for example, for cold email copywriter, sales skills, but no writing skills, no sales skills. He said in a split second, he said sales skills. And that was also proven through when I was recruiting copywriters and working with them. It proved to be the case that that basically sales skills are way more important, that if you know how to sell something, then you can much easier learn how to maybe like put it in words. But most people just have zero idea how, you know, sales works and how human psychology works and how actually people buy and why people buy, why people take action, and they're writer first. And that's fine, I think. But just you have to ask yourself, if you are like writer first and you are not willing to maybe go through the painful journey of acquiring like sales skills, especially for like sales copywriting. Not all copywriting is the sales, but almost all. So I'm saying, for example, for cold email, landing pages, for like LinkedIn campaigns, SMS, so a lot of that kind of stuff. You gotta be, I think, a salesperson sort of first, and then a writer second. And if you are a writer first and you don't really feel like the sales one, then maybe you should go into more content and accept the fact that there's a different fee structure and there's a different, maybe it's a bit harder to charge a lot of money, but yeah, this is a painful one. And I'm not saying that I'm for example not great at sales, but I think I have from my traveling and all kinds of experiences and just my natural also talents, I think I have a pretty good understanding of how to work with, how to, for example, start conversations with strangers, how to, you know, get them to do something, convince them. And if you don't, then this is something to think about. Then the next one is learning opportunities, is that Yeah, that I would say it's combined learning opportunity, proactive learning, is that with this kind of mentoring in this day and age where it's all like digital, I was just doing it, you know, Nate was in California, I was just in Poland, Vietnam, all kinds of places. We never met. So you have very limited space for actually learning. So one, you have to be proactive about that, meaning that you have to like ask, probe, and sometimes even if the time is not straight, you have to be kind of asking me, why is that? Oh, how do you like always like just kind of be proactive about it. And also I would say that you will probably learn most in the first few months when you are still kind of like new to each other. There's less routine. Then I found that, you know, the kind of the routine takes over. You kind of are more familiar with each other. The work takes precedent. And then there maybe the learning is, but more like implicit, just from repetition, experience, more clients, things like that. But like the direct, as far as like, you know, feedback or why are you doing that? Or like, what doesn't make sense? Or am I doing this good? I think you have to maximize the first 1, 2, 3 months or something like that. And as I said, be very proactive about it. Next one, one of the last ones, is managing clients' expectations. Most people and most copywriters, I think, overpromise and they'll deliver. I think I saw Nate many, many, many times do the opposite. So underpromise, overdeliver. And yeah, this is something I'm still learning. It's not so easy because oftentimes to sell, you're like, you feel like you want to overpromise, like this is going to make you $1 million and you will be rich and we will get you 20 leads or whatever the case may be. But most of the time, this like glorious final result doesn't happen. So you have to be able to sort of still be able to sell yourself while managing clients' expectation, meaning that, hey, we can write this perfect, do this, but keep in mind that maybe in the first month or two or whatever, this is not going to be that great. And because I know it from other campaigns, and that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just that, hey, maybe these guys that are promising in you, they are promising you heaven for a buck. So just think about, and you know, sometimes you're going to lose clients, but I think the key to having like ongoing relationships, retainers longer is to set a bit, maybe the expectations even lower and try to over deliver, because that's a way more powerful. If you set the expectations really high and you go here, but you don't reach the expectations, the relationship most of the time will go sour. If you set here, go here, even if it's lower than the other case, you will, I think, from my observations and experience, you will more likely have a happy customer. Either he will refer you, or he will stay with you, or want more work. The one to the last is the copywriter's role. What is actually copywriter's role? I think Nate put it really well and succinctly, that copywriter's role is actually transforming how client, especially in B2B, how client sells his service already, usually through like verbal ways, like calling or in person, and translating into writing. Because most business owners and people in general, they write completely different than they speak. And it's actually problematic, because when they talk, they kind of are like more fluid, more, you know, some more jargon and kind of quick to the point. Not always. But they learn because of the sales practice, and sales reps too. And in right, when they begin to write, they just become like completely different person and write into totally different way. It just doesn't work. That's why the calls, like questionnaire, but then also talking to a client and getting, asking him, you know, how are you actually selling it? Show me, like, imagine I'm a potential customer. Like, how do you sell it? Or having a recording or talking to salesperson. That's why it's so important, because you gotta capture the language. What do they actually highlight about the service or product? What pains do they kind of address? What needs and desires? And also the specialist, like, jargon language of the industry, of the field, or what they do. And then finally, it's the conversational writing. So a lot of, I think, great copy is especially, it depends on the medium, but especially if you're talking about like direct, meaning like letters, emails, LinkedIn, SMS, short form especially, the key to it is conversational. So like kind of not perfectly written, short sentences, really kind of very, very, very much how you would speak rather than how you would write like an essay or something like that. And yeah, it's about like the shortness of it. It's combining business with personal and kind of making it less formal. I noticed that this was a key for both my writing, and when I saw Nate's, that a lot of his stuff was effective because it was conversational. So that basically requires you, I think, to unlearn a lot of like your writing education that you had, and a lot of like kind of this like, oh, this has to be like perfectly grammatical and has to have a dot here, always a point there. Sometimes the best stuff has like some small, it just looks like a human wrote it, and that basically works much better than this kind of like robotic, perfectly looking, neat, full sentences.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Quest for Questions podcast. If your immediate reaction after listening to this episode is either, fuck, that's some great advice, can't wait for more, where do I sign up? Or, man, I had the same idea in mind, but I assumed it's just me being weird. Thank you for sharing. Or, this bastard hurt my feelings, offended my delicate soul, and should be banned from the internet. Then it means we're on the right track, doing God's work. In that case, make sure to subscribe, review, or do whatever else is allowed by technology to support this show. If you want to suggest a quest or have a question worthy of a quest, head to conradyerba.com. Go down the rabbit hole of truth each and every Sunday. Available on most podcasting platforms, YouTube, and Pirate Bay. Wink, wink. Let Yerba be with you.